true or false? At the Liturgy of the Word, this part of the Mass, does God speak to us through Scripture? True. Very true. Well, every first day of the calendar year, we start with Mary, the Mother of God, and the first reading is from the book of Numbers. God speaking to us, not just the lector this morning, but God speaking to us, offering his blessing for us during this new year. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. Well, every year we hear those same words. Have you ever really stopped and thought, what is God doing as he's blessing us with these words? So a couple of reflections on that first reading. The Lord bless you and keep you. Well, in a sense, it's reminding us of God's protection for us. Now, it doesn't mean that nothing bad's going to happen to us during this coming year, but as we hear during Christmas season, this child born in the manger is Emmanuel, God with us. So regardless of what happens to us, we're going to have a God who is with us always. So our challenge is to recognize that we are safe in the arms of our God as long as we stay in his arms. And as one author said, I mean, look at the manger. God comes to us as a vulnerable infant. God's experienced what it means to be unsafe and vulnerable and so forth. So God's with us even in those difficult times. As this author said, look at the manger. Jesus chose our human vulnerability. Our feeling of being unsafe and vulnerable is something that God embraced in Jesus, something Jesus did not run away from. God understands our vulnerability because God has experienced it. And God shows us that that does not have to have the ultimate say in our lives. So our challenge is to always remember what Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, that all things work for the good for those who are loved by God, us, and are called according to his purpose. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. In a sense, it's a reminder of the who we are. When Jesus was baptized, for instance, in Mark's gospel, after his baptism, a voice comes from the heaven, we'd say, God the Father, that you are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We might forget or maybe didn't listen carefully on the day of our baptism, but the heavens opened and God said those same words to us. He said, you are my beloved son, or you are my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased. Our challenge to live this blessing of God's face shining upon us is to live out of that truth of the identity of who we are. Now, of course, all the advertisements will tell us we're deficient and incomplete and everything else, and it's easy to buy into all of that. And sadly, young people without that firm foundation in Christ are buying into all these false identities and forgetting the one that they were given in the waters of baptism. As St. John Paul II, one time in a youth homily, said, we are not the sum of our weaknesses and our failures. So sometimes we kind of beat ourselves up for the mistakes we make. But as John Paul II continued, we are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his Son, that we are God's beloved sons and daughters. That's the identity we have to embrace. There's a story about this woman who had had a difficult time growing up, and all of a sudden this young man, very wealthy and handsome, fell in love with her. Eventually, she was delighted when he proposed marriage. And after marriage, they moved into a beautiful home, and it seemed like, you know, life was wonderful and awesome. But then all of a sudden, one day, she was not feeling well. She went to the doctor eventually. The doctor told her she had a terminal illness. Well, now she's in the hospital, very angry at God for taking all that away and soon ending her life. So she decided to go down to the chapel to tell God off. So there she is in her hospital gown with her, you know, IV bag and pole and so forth. And when she got to the chapel, she said this, oh God, you are a fraud, a phony. You have been passing yourself off as love for 2,000 years. But every time someone finds a little bit of happiness, you pull the rug out from under their feet. You cancel your love. Well, I just wanted to let you know that I've had it. You're not faithful. I see through you. And then in her exhaustion, she slumped to the ground. And as she looked towards the altar, kind of woven into the steps of the altar, the steps leading up to the sanctuary, she saw the words, "You are my beloved." She repeated those words several times and then placed her tired head on her hands and listened carefully in her heart. "You are my beloved." Eventually, she got up and went back to her room and slept very soundly. Well, as St. John Paul II said, "We are the sum of the Father's love for us, our capacity to become the image of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, as beloved sons and daughters. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace." Well, if we live as God's beloved children, then we're connected to Christ. He's the head, we are the body. But he's also the Prince of Peace. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, the Father's will, that all of those have been given to Jesus, that would be us in the waters of baptism, that he not lose any of us, but raise us up on the last day. Well, this blessing is a reminder of God's fidelity to us. Paul will speak about that in his letter to Timothy, that if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful always. He cannot deny himself. God is fidelity himself. There's a beautiful part of a Eucharistic prayer of reconciliation that speaks about that. "Never did you turn away from us, though time and again we have broken your covenant. You have bound the human family to yourself through Jesus with a new bond of love so tight that it can never be undone." Well, every January 1st, God blesses us with these words. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord let his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us kindly and give us God's peace. Well, that's what God does for blessing of us. Do we bless God with our lives? Now, that may sound like a crazy thing, but it really isn't. You know, to bless God is to live according to what God desires for all of his creatures, to act according to who we are as God's creatures. There's a part in the book of Daniel. The three young men, the Jewish men, are being thrown into a fire because the king's angry at them because they're not worshiping the right way. And all of a sudden, there's a fourth person in there. That would be the angel, "The Lord bless you and keep you." There is God's protection. But then afterwards, there is a hymn of praise of God. And some of the words in that hymn are this: "Bless the Lord, mountains and hills, all growing things, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, seas and rivers, springs and fountains, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, whales and fish, birds of the air. Sons of men, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O Israel, praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, his priests and all his servants, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, spirits and souls of the just, all who are holy and humble, bless the Lord." Well, for us to bless the Lord, we need to simply live and act as who we are. So a rock needs to act like a rock. Well, okay, a rock doesn't have a whole lot of choice in acting. A tree has to act like a tree. And of course, your pets at home, your dogs and cats act more like humans at times. So you say, you got to act more like a dog so you're blessing the Lord, okay? That's your mission there is coming year. But when we act and live as God's beloved children, then our lives are simply blessing the Lord. So one of the ways that we do that is what we do here. God desires us to worship, praise, and thank him. If you read the compendium of the Catechism, it says, "The church blesses the Father by her worship, her praise, her thanksgiving." Eucharist is about thanksgiving. Think about what we do here. It's about blessing the Lord. So the preface that will begin the Eucharistic prayer this morning, you'll hear, "It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, and to praise, to bless, to glorify your name." At the end of the Eucharistic prayer, this is how God wants us to live, what we do here to bless him. We'll say, "Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever." Well, if we are living those words, then our lives simply bless the Lord day in and day out. When we are preparing the gifts, you're usually singing one of the preparation songs. But I'll take the bread that will be used for the Eucharist to be consecrated, and I'll say, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation." Now, this prayer is going to recognize that everything we have comes from God. We are acknowledging that and then offering that to the Lord, saying, by our transubstantiation, not the bread and wine on the altar, but us included, that then our lives become the bread of life, the bread that gives life to the world, Just like Jesus in John's gospel said that he is that bread that gives life to the world, what we're asking is this preparation of the gifts, that our lives become like Christ, the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth, work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Well, if worshiping God is how we bless God, do we need to examine ourselves over this as we begin this new year on keeping the Sabbath holy? As St. John Paul II said in an apostolic letter about Sunday, I would strongly urge everyone to rediscover Sunday. Do not be afraid to give your time to Christ. Yes, let us open our time to Christ, that he may cast light upon it and give it direction. He is the one who knows the secret of time and the secret of eternity. He gives us his day, the Sabbath, as an ever new gift of his love. The rediscovery of this day is a grace which we must implore, not only so that we may live the demands of faith to the full, but also that we may respond concretely to the deepest human yearnings, to praise, to worship, to thank God. Time given to Christ is never lost time. It is rather time gained so that our relationship, and indeed our whole life, may become more profoundly human. Our lives are simply blessing God. When we glorify God, we also bless God. Now we sing the glory to God in the highest. But as St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is the human person fully alive. When we really live as God's beloved children, as God's beloved sons and daughters, then our lives simply are glorifying God. When we live according to that truth, our lives bless God. And to live according to that truth, Christ shows us how. It's the reality of obedience to God's will. Jesus said that his will was to do the Father's will. His food was to do the Father's will. I always like in John's gospel, it doesn't have that scene of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating drops of blood. But it's a different image. And in John's gospel, Jesus will say, I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. That's his time of passion and death. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. When we are obedient to God's will, then we're really staying connected to Christ. His peace, and he is the Prince of Peace, then lives deeply inside of us. As Jesus tells us on this World Day of Prayer for Peace, that, you know, the peace he gives to us is a peace that the world can't give. So we now live in peace because of our obedience to God's will. We become instruments of God's peace in the world. And what happens is that the incarnation and birth of Jesus, not just simply in Bethlehem, but daily in our lives, happens because of our obedience to God's will. But God asks us each and every day whether we want to be obedient to God's will. As one author said, God asks us, will you in what you say, what you dream, what you do, what you believe, how you pray, how you live, will you give a human nature to my son? Will you be obedient and then let the incarnation happen because of the way each and every one of us lives? Will you give the word flesh in your life? When we say yes, the birth of Christ, the incarnation, continues. And as the blessing says, the Lord look upon us kindly and give us peace. Well, we are reminded as we begin this new year, 2023, that the Lord blesses us abundantly with his favor, with his protection, his fidelity. Our challenge, the question we need to ask ourselves as we make New Year's resolutions, is how we will bless God during this coming year.